Habakkuk chapter number 3. Habakkuk chapter number 3. I love Thanksgiving and I love Thanksgiving time. And I can't emphasize how much I believe in thankfulness. That there are certain keys to a joyful and a successful Christian life that I think, I believe, I've observed are so oftentimes overlooked, are so quickly overlooked, thankfulness being one of those. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and no, it's not just for the food. There's actually several dishes on Thanksgiving I've never been a fan of. Stuffing, really. Except for I discovered I like stuffing when it's done right. My grandma has a recipe that she takes White Castle cheeseburger sliders, chops those up, and makes stuffing out of it. Now that's stuffing. That's stuffing. But I love Thanksgiving. I believe in it, which this morning's title to this morning's message might not make sense till we get into it. The title of my message is When Thanksgiving Doesn't Make Sense. When Thanksgiving Doesn't Make Sense. Habakkuk chapter 3, if you're there, we're going to read verse number 17. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we're going to move through this passage and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you. Lord, you command us to come into your gates with thanksgiving and enter your courts with praise. God, I pray this morning that we would be a thankful people. Lord, though sometimes in our lives it's harder to be thankful than other times. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to be thankful in the circumstance we find ourselves in. I pray that as Habakkuk lays out here, we too would rejoice in you. That we'd have our joy found in you, the God of our salvation. God, direct my words. Give me power to preach. Let this message not be my thoughts or opinions, but be your message this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Most people find it easy to be thankful when things are good. It's easy when we're gathered around a Thanksgiving table full of food and we've got the turkey and we've got the stuffing with cheeseburgers and we've got the vegetables. We've got the big hot warm rolls with butter on top. I better preach fast if I'm going to talk like this because everybody now is hungry. You've got all that and you're sitting around family and it's somewhat sentimental at times and you look around and you think, man, it's easy to be thankful. Anyone can rejoice when the bank account is full. Anyone can rejoice when your job and career seems secure and you don't have questions or doubts about your job future. Everyone can rejoice when the kids are doing well and when they're healthy. Right, Brother Ricky? Brother Ricky spent a night in the hospital this week with little Opal. Everybody can rejoice when your life seems to be going the direction you'd like it to go, when everything seems to be working out. But Habakkuk here shows a rare and a very important kind of thanksgiving. A gratitude that survived when everything else is gone. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17, lists 6 total losses. No more blossoms on the fig tree. No more fruit. No more harvest. No more food. No more flocks. No more herds. In Israel's agriculture economy, this means, hey, there's no joy. There's no income, no security, no future. Yet Habakkuk, verse number 18 here, Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hey, that kind of thankfulness does not make sense to the world. that kind of thankfulness, the world will say, what in the world, Habakkuk? You've got no blossoms. The fig trees are dying. There's no fruit. There's no harvest. There's no meat. There's no flocks. There's no herds. You're going to die. You're going to starve. There's no hope. Why are you thankful? His thanksgiving didn't make sense. But thankfulness like this, thankfulness in times like these, is the mark of a mature believer who learned to praise God when nothing else remains. To praise God and realize, as it says in verse number 19, it didn't say that the Lord God brings and gives you strength. What does it say there? He is my strength. He is sufficient. Many of us will say, hey, I'd be thankful if God brought by some blessings in my life. And we've got to realize He is the greatest blessing in our life. Let's examine how the prophet teaches us to praise God in our darkest, darkest valleys. There's a realistic look at this suffering here. Habakkuk didn't sugarcoat this pain. God never asked us to pretend. The circumstances were devastating. Devastating. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, hey, there's no sweetness, there's no enjoyment, no comfort, neither shall there be fruit on the vines, hey, no joy. When there was festivities, when there was a wedding, whenever there was a time of rejoicing, they would have grape juice, they would have the fruit of the vine. Hey, there's none of that here. The labor of the olive shall fail. No oil for cooking, for lamps, for healing. The fields shall yield no meat, no grain, no bread, no substance. The flock cut off from the fold. There's no wool for clothing, no meat, no milk. No herds in the stall, no future, no investment, no security. This is not that Habakkuk was inconvenienced. It wasn't that Habakkuk got stuck behind a Utah driver this morning. It wasn't that Habakkuk just really ran into some circumstances that were just, man, I was picking on our brother here from Utah. Man, that's too bad. Now, these were devastating circumstances. Everything was gone. And there's times where it seems like we're all alone in our problems. There's times when it seems like the answers the doctors are giving really aren't fixing what we're going through, that we're going to work and we're making money, but it's not, we're making less this much and the bills are this much. We're going through problems and it seems like there's no way, there's no future. Everything is for naught. Well, Charles Spurgeon once said, and I've quoted this before, if you cannot trust God's hand, you must trust His heart. Sorry, trace God's hand. If you can't see it, you can't see God's hand at work, because sometimes it's not that God's not working, we just don't see it. We must trust who He is. There's circumstances that were devastating. Then God never asks us to pretend that pain that we're going through in life doesn't exist. The Bible recognizes over and over again that we have cares, we have worries, we have burdens. But God instructs us what to do with those, to cast those at His feet. We don't thank God because of the tragedy that has happened. We thank God in tragedy, because even in those problems, He's still God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, I think is oftentimes misappropriated. In everything, give thanks. The Bible didn't say there, give thanks for everything. There are some things that happen in people's lives. I think of one of the hardest things. I've got a friend that just went through this just this year. Daughter was born, was in the NICU for months. And then body started shutting down. The newborn daughter, very small, passed away. Bible didn't command them to be thankful that their child died. But they are commanded that even in that circumstance, even in that devastation, even in that heartbreak, in that tragedy, they're still to give thanks to God because of who he is. That even in that tragedy, we are to have a time of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and trials are a test of our spiritual vision. Can we see God even when we're not looking right at his blessings? Gratitude and trials separate real faith from fair weather Christians. Oftentimes, there's a lot of people, I tell you, one of the funniest things I've had is when I'm inviting somebody to come back to church who's visited once or twice, and I say, hey, do you go to any church anywhere regularly? They're like, yeah, I go to your church, just not regularly. And I say, what church is your church? Your church. Well, it's been years that you've been in the house of God. And when they feel like it, when, man, the morning's going well, and they feel faithfulness is something they feel like doing. When life is good, they'll be faithful. When life is good, they'll be thankful. And the difference between a fair weather Christian and a Christian whose life is grounded in faith is that of, can you give thanks when it doesn't make sense? Can you give thanks when things aren't going as we would describe as going well? Things aren't going according to plan. Anybody can praise God when the blessings are overflowing. True believers that are truly walking in faith praise him when those blessings are absent. I think of Job. Job lost his wealth. He lost his workers. He had 10 children, and in one moment, all 10 of his children died. Imagine that was one of several messengers come to him and say, hey, oh, and by the way, your house fell down and killed all 10 children. And then before that messenger's gone, the next was coming saying, hey, all of your flocks, all of your wealth, all of that's gone. And then his friends turn on him, then he loses his health, and then his wife turns on God. And he's going through all of this. And in Job chapter 1, verse 21, he said, blessed be the name of God. Of the Lord. He said, that does not make sense. Yeah. It's called faith. Thankfulness, when it doesn't make sense, is evidence of faith. Job didn't say it was because life made sense that he was thankful. Bless his name because he's given me all of these things. He said it because God is worthy of our thanksgiving, even when we are empty-handed. God is worthy of our praise and our gratitude, even when we cannot bring specific blessings. We are only caught up in our tragedies. And the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's easy to say blessed be the name of the Lord when on the gave part. Hey, the Lord gave to me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How about, and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job prays before anything made sense. He said, hey, I know why he prays. I read the end of the story. He gets more blessings from God than he had at the beginning. He got more than he lost. No. Job didn't know that in Job chapter 1. It didn't make sense for him to praise God. But he had faith. His thanksgiving was not logical, it was spiritual. And I fear so many times as Christians we attempt to live even our Christian lives in a logical fashion, a fashion that makes sense to us. We fail to realize the Christian life is not just an exercise in logic. The Christian life is a spiritual life. At least it ought to be. That is why people like Habakkuk and Job could give thanksgiving to God when it didn't make logical sense. The thankful heart is the parent of all virtues. A.W. Tozer. Number two, a resolute choice to rejoice. They had to make a decision. He made a decision to rejoice. He says, yet he acknowledges all these things. No blossoms, no fruit, no fields yielding anything. All the flocks, the herds, all of it's gone. We've got nothing. Yet I will rejoice. This is one of the strongest statements, in my opinion, of praise in the entirety of the Bible. Gratitude is oftentimes, in our culture at least, looked at as a feeling, a fuzzy feeling. We get together, sing kumbaya, say, oh, everything's good. Oh, I'm going to be thankful for that. No. Gratitude is a choice. True gratitude, true thankfulness is a decision. Habakkuk, I'm sure, I mean, just imagine leading a people and everything's going wrong. That pit in your stomach. I wonder if any of you can relate to that. You've got a family or maybe even a company, people that depend on you, and everything goes belly up. Everything goes wrong. And man, you get physically sick, physically distraught. It's all gone to pieces. I'm sure Habakkuk didn't feel like praising. He probably didn't feel like praising and rejoicing. He chooses. He said, yet I will rejoice. He chooses to praise. David commanded himself. I preached and wanted to include this verse in here. Preached Friday at the nursing home up here on the hill at Gateway, and preached on bless the Lord. Preached on Psalm 103 verse 1. It repeats it there. He's not talking. He's not looking out at the congregation and saying, hey, you all out there, bless the Lord. He says, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you realize as a Christian in our lives, we got to preach to ourselves sometime. Sometimes, I find myself that way oftentimes. I open the Word of God, I open the Bible, and I realize I have lacked the thanksgiving and the grateful spirit of my heart that I so desperately need to bring forth a joyful Christian life. And David here says, hey, look in the mirror, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He commanded himself to. Gratitude in trials is based on who God is. Gratitude is based on who God is. He says, rejoice, I will rejoice in the Lord. He wasn't rejoicing in the fig tree. He wasn't rejoicing in the crops. He wasn't rejoicing because of plan B that was a backup option that he was going to figure out. He wasn't rejoicing in the herds or the... No. In the Lord, the God of my salvation. Not the God of my circumstances. Not the God of my feelings. Not the God of past blessings. Not the God of my salvation. Hey, Christian, this morning, I don't know what you're going through. I know what some of you are going through, and I'm praying with you through some of those trials. But I don't know what everybody here this morning is going through. One of the first lessons I learned in the years that I was assistant pastor in the last 6 months of being the pastor of Mountain Valley Baptist Church is that everybody's going through something. Everybody's got some hurt you're going through. And as soon as we realize, woe is, you know, start thinking it's all, I'm the one that's the only one dealing with things, go pray with some other people. Realize the trials that others are walking through. But if he saved your soul, if he's given you eternal life, and if you're saved here today, he has, why can't we trust him? Why can't we praise him and rejoice when physical, temporal things aren't going right? Hey, our eternity wasn't going right. I was a dirty, rotten sinner, lost and on my way to hell, and I trusted him, and I'm rejoicing in the fact that he saved my soul from hell and gave me eternal life in heaven. Yet I can't take my bills and say, it doesn't make sense. It's not going well. The doctor's office wants more money. But I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. He saved you. He can take care of this. Salvation is secure, and gratitude ought to be constant. Gratitude is based on who God is. Gratitude also in trials is an act of defiant faith. The devil wants a church full of defeated Christians, of Christians who are so consumed with our own trials, our own problems, that we're just focused on, oh, pastor, let me tell you, my life is just a struggle. No, but even in, all of us have trials. We already covered that. But the Christian that is grateful, a Christian that says, yes, I've got some trials. Yes, I've got some hard times. Praise the Lord, God is good. Praise the Lord, He is the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord. It's an act of defiant faith to say, no, the devil's not going to take my work for God and my service for the Lord and my walk with the Lord to a screeching halt because of problems in my life, as big as they might be. And even though it doesn't make sense, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be grateful. And in that, take a step of defiant faith. Habakkuk here, he's not ignoring the pain that's there. What he's saying is, I'm not going to fall in despair. I'm not going to fall into discouragement and depression that will stop my walk with God. I think of a story I read. Oh, I can't remember the first time I read this story. I was probably a very young child reading the story of a lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister were taken to a Nazi occupation there. They're taken to a concentration camp called Ravensbrück. And they were taken there because they were caught hiding and sneaking Jews out of their city. They're hiding them in their house. Many of you probably know this story, but Corrie and her sister Betsy, they made a point in captivity in these nasty, dirty, awful conditions at Ravensbrück camp to thank God. Something that Corrie later on wrote, her sister Betsy died there in Ravensbrück. But Corrie had the testimony of her sister Betsy, who prayed every night and thanked God for the fleas that were in their barracks. The fleas. I can tell you, I've never thanked God for fleas. They found something to be thankful for. Corrie thought it was absurd. Later, they discovered it was worth thanking God for, because guards were a lot less likely to enter into a barracks that was flea infested, allowing them then to hold Bible studies freely that would have otherwise been shut down. You say, thankful for fleas? That doesn't make sense. Yeah, but her focus was not about herself, about her own comfort, about not having fleas that were bothering her. Her focus was on her Savior who saved her soul. And being thankful that even in a bothersome little bug infesting their barracks like fleas allowed the guards to stay away and allowed them to share the Bible with others there. Many who died before they were released but got to hear Christ crucified, buried, risen again, and offering salvation. Thankfulness there didn't make sense until God made it make sense. Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, there's no pit so deep that God's love is not still deeper. Gratitude doesn't always make sense, but it's commanded. And there's a renewed confidence in God's strength. Habakkuk, he made a decision. He said, hey, yes, it's bad. It's terrible that everything has gone wrong, but yet will I rejoice. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to have thanksgiving to God, even in these circumstances. And then came verse number 19, a renewed confidence in God's strength. The Lord God is my strength. He doesn't just give strength. As I mentioned earlier, He is strength. He is strength. God becomes our stability. He says there, my feet like hinds' feet. So some of us here, I see a couple walkers on the front row. Most of us here, our feet are not like hinds' feet anymore. We don't run around like a deer running through the woods anymore. Brother Grant just had a surgery. You don't run around like you used to. You don't ride in rodeos like you might have used to. But guess what? There's a stability, a sure-footedness, a steadiness, a balance that comes when we're resting in His strength. You know, if everything would have gone good for Habakkuk, I wonder if he would have been resting in the security of the fig harvest. or the security of the harvest of the field. Or maybe he would rest and said, hey, if the fig harvest isn't good and the harvest of the field isn't good, at least we've got the flocks and the herds and the stalls. That'll take care of us. No, instead, everything was gone. Everything was terrible. And he had to make a decision. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. And here we go. Now his sure-footedness, his steadfastness, his stability is not based on all of these things. Once again, it renews his focus on God's strength. Mountain deer walk where others fall. Not quite deer, but one of the neatest things I ever saw was I was on a rafting trip down the Snake River with Brother Rod Lewis up there years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. It might have even been before the church was started here. And we were in a raft, and there's cliffs on this side and a mountain hill on this side. And we come around a corner, and these rocks, when I say a cliff, it was not a hill, it was a cliff. There's 4 or 5 of these white goats, mountain goats. And they're just standing, they're hopping from little tiny little nub to a tiny little nub sticking out of the rocks. And you think, man, they've got a sure foot in the same way these mountain deer. They run, they're dodging trees. If I tried to run from here to those back doors as fast as a deer does through the woods, one of two things would happen. Either I'd trip very quickly, or I'd run into a tree. I'd fall over a fallen. I would be very hurt very quickly. I don't think I'd make it even that far trying to run like a deer runs. They have a sure footedness. They have a balance. They have the ability to navigate through that. Why? Because of the balance of their feet. And when we are steadfast in his strength, he makes us sure-footed and steady. When the ground beneath us seems to fall away, when everything seems to fall apart, God becomes our stability. Also, God lifts us above our circumstances. He said, he will make me walk upon mine high places. Not lower, not darker, high places. Hey, gratitude elevates our perspective. It takes our eyes from focusing on our fear and puts our focus above our fear, above our disappointment, above our worries, above our confusion, above our loss, and says, hey, realize I'm your strength. Focus on me. And gratitude is that gateway to divine strength. Philippians chapter 4 shows us that thanksgiving leads to a peace beyond understanding. We have a world that desires, that seeks peace. They'll sell apps on your phone to listen to and meditate to and listen to certain tones and say, oh, this will bring you peace. It's not going to bring you peace. It might make you fall asleep, but it's not going to bring you peace. And say, oh, go sign up for this yoga class. It'll bring you peace. It'll make you more flexible, but I tell you, it ain't going to bring you peace. The whole world's seeking peace. They seek it in false religions. Some seek it at the bottom of a bottle. Some seek it in gratifying the lusts of the flesh. I tell you where peace comes. Peace comes to a heart that is gratefully focused on the Lord, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when you say, I look around and there's a lot to complain about. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. And then live a life that is an incredible and resounding testimony to the world around you. Even though you're going through hard times, I think a brother Rusty Gates, he starts the 24th, the Monday before Thanksgiving, he starts his cancer treatments. Rusty said, look, there's a lot of ways I could go, but if this allows me to be a testimony to some doctors, to some nurses, praise God. Amen. You find that you can be a Christian living in thankfulness, living in thanksgiving and gratitude to God in those type of times. And then watch what God does with your testimony. The first thing that will happen is your testimony among some other Christians that look like, what is wrong with that person? What happened to Josh? Wow. And it'll spread. A grateful spirit is contagious. A cantankerous spirit is contagious too, but a grateful heart will spread throughout a church. But it'll be a testimony of, hey, when the world's life falls apart, they fall apart. What's the difference between them and those of us that have Christ as our Savior? Is that our lives do fall apart. Things, tragedies do happen. Problems do happen. We do go through trials, but we don't have to fall apart. We can stand up and say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And that testimony make a stark contrast between how we handle circumstances like that and how the world does. There's a man who lost his daughters at sea. His daughters were traveling across the Atlantic in a boat years ago. And the ship sunk. His daughters died. This man penned the words, "It is well with my soul." That hymn has brought comfort to millions. It's written from heartbreak, not comfort. He didn't say, "It's well with my soul," because everything's going well. Horatio Spafford said, "It's well with my soul, even in incredible tragedy. It's well with my soul because of him." So that doesn't make sense. Yeah. And I know all of us are going through things. All of us have trials and difficulties. You said, "Pastor, it was a trial and a difficulty to get out of bed and come to church this morning." Amen. Amen. Be thankful anyway. And in those times, I pray that we would be a people that would say, hey, as Christians, it might not make sense to be thankful. I see Brother Ed back there that's sick. His wife on the other side of the world a couple weeks ago trying to take care of the boys. Man, it's hard, painful, difficult, exhausting. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord and the God of my salvation. And praise God, Mrs. Foster's back in town. But we all go through trials. God says, hey, Ewing family, root up, leave the farm in Iowa and move to Idaho. That's not happy-go-lucky. It's not easy. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, in the God of my salvation. Brother Tonks is here, barely able to walk in. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. Got financial problems, can't pay the bills. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. There's always a reason to be thankful. There's always, not just the good times, there's always a reason for thanksgiving. Why? Because he is God. He's still on the throne. And he is our strength. I wonder, if your life, you say, man, everything's falling apart. Maybe it's falling apart because God wants to be your strength again instead of all of those things. God wants to be what you rely on instead of that steady occupation. Maybe he's shaking your life up and saying, hey, focus on me again. And rise up and say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. When thanksgiving doesn't make sense, Christians ought to be thankful. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for how unbelievably good you are to us. We thank you for your blessings that are beyond imaginations, Lord. Even when our lives are falling apart, even when things seem like they can't get worse, you are there. God, I pray this morning, I don't know the hearts of every single person here. I pray if there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray they'd come to you for salvation this morning. God, I also don't know the lives of and the intricacies and details and trials and troubles and tribulations that folks are going through. But God, I pray that you'd work in their hearts. You know what they're going through. I pray that they would determine this morning to live a life of gratitude even in the darkest of trials. I pray that you'd work on our hearts. Give us a grateful heart. In the good times and in the hard times. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you